Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:29 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 26th, and I thought I would start out today by just showing you the German yield curve, because all maturities out to about 7 years are trading with negative yields, and that's maybe an improvement since the summer or even last year when it was all maturities out to about 20 years. Certainly, there is still what could only be described as a serious overvaluation in the market, and of course, the reason for that is because of the ECB's buying program. So, what was happening today was quite clear that the ECB is now moving towards tapering, and there were two outcomes from that. The first is that they're going to buy about 30 billion instead of 60 billion euros a month, beginning in at the end of December or the beginning of January, and that will proceed at least through to the end of the third quarter, which amounts to an additional 200 billion in terms of the size of the ECB's balance sheet, which would take it up to at least 4.5 trillion euro. The second point is that they were worried about the strength of the euro, and that has weighed on the euro in here today. It moved to a new reaction low. So this would suggest that we're still in a reactive phase, that the likelihood is that it is going to unwind its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and that will then, if it does so in a rapid manner at least, it would approximate the upper side of the underlying trading range. Just what happens after that, whether it can hold this breakout, is anyone's guess. But the reality is that it had an awfully big move already this year. It is due some consolidation. It is getting that consolidation. And then when we think about what are the growth trajectories, well, Europe has got plenty of catch up, so there is potential for Europe to outperform on the growth front relative to the US. And then, of course, that question will hang on whether we do in fact get these tax cuts and what kind of economic bump that is going to represent. When we look at it the other way around, and in terms of the dollar index, then the dollar index is looking increasingly likely that this is a failed downside break, but it has almost unwound the oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and is approaching that 95 area, and that represents an area of a first potential area of resistance. So if it can sustain a move above 95 and the region of the mean, well, that will open up the potential for a more substantial rally back up towards that big round 100 level. And that would suggest that some of the weakness that we saw in the precious metal markets in here today is beginning to look at that potential possibility. We can see that gold has come right back down to the early October lows. It was down almost $10 in here today, and it needs to bounce and bounce in a dynamic manner in order to confirm support in the region of this $1,250 area. When we look at it on a weekly basis, then it has been ranging in a volatile manner for almost 2 years already. This continues to look like a period of right-hand extension following the type 2 bottom, but these rangy periods can be lengthy, and there isn't a great deal of evidence just yet to really confirm one way or the other whether we are at the end of this particular range. On the other side of the equation, palladium was in positive territory today, and it did get right up to that $1,000 level twice in the last 6 weeks, and has pulled back in a relatively modest fashion, and is now firming once more from this $950 area. And I think on this occasion it does have the potential to break through, considering that this has been a relatively bullish consolidation and it continues to hold this upward bias throughout the year. Because the euro was weaker, then the European stock markets were stronger. There is most definitely this inverse correlation, and in fact, what is, I think, perhaps more important is that they tend to do much better when the euro is weak rather than pulling back violently when the euro is strong. could see that certainly the strength of the euro throughout this year acted as a headwind from about April onwards, but it didn't amount to anything more than a reversion to the mean, and this is the euro stocks breaking on the upside. And the DAX index was up almost 200 points and breaking out to new all-time highs. The FTSE 100 was also responding relatively favorably to today's weakness on the pound, and it recouped about half of yesterday's decline. Of course, the pound was really quite firm yesterday, so that did act as a headwind for the UK stock market. When we look at that pound against the dollar, then we still have this progression of higher reaction lows, and it is right in the region of the trend mean. So this is a natural area where one might ask the question whether it is going to find support just here. And certainly, if it can hold to the 130 area, then the benefit of the doubt can at least be given to higher to lateral ranging. But when we look at it event against the euro, I think we have a potentially more interesting picture, because the pound has already had a rather cataclysmic decline against the euro, and it unwound that oversold condition relative to the trend mean following the big bounce in I think it was August or September, and it has held or at least approximated the region of the mean since then and is now pushing back up. Well, if it can sustain a move above the trend mean, which is currently around 113.96, so let's just say an additional cent on the upside, then and I guess that would take it back to the mean, so it would have to be more than a cent move to push it above it. But that would break the downtrend. And if it can push above the trend mean, it would confirm the failed downside break below 110, and that would open up the potential for a run up towards 120. So the pound versus the euro is, I think, looking increasingly interesting. And against the background of these Brexit negotiations, which where we are practically festooned with these rather opposing views of what is likely to happen. But I think the interplay between the pound and the euro probably gives us a better opinion of exactly what we can expect. Obviously, the euro, they didn't raise interest rates today. I don't think there was much expectation that they were going to. We're going to find out next week whether whether Mark Carney is willing to raise rates for the pound, and what the euro pound cross rate would suggest is that the market is willing to at least countenance the possibility that the UK will raise rates before the Eurozone. Then we continue to see the aftermath of the recapitalization of the Indian banks, and the Nifty was in additional positive territory in here today, up an additional 48 points. And the Bombay Banks Index, which has not yet broken out, and not least because there is rather a great deal of variability on which banks are being supported by this refinancing. It's primarily the state-owned banks. They're going to get this push in the short term, but by and large, it's good news for the entire banking sector, and most particularly for India, because an emerging market, or indeed any market, is dependent on credit availability. And that's particularly the case for India, where they need to build the infrastructure that required to really help to create a dynamism in their economy, not least factories, roads, ports, etc. And of course, utilities and housing infrastructure as well. They have an enormously large young population, and that means that they are going to have to deliver on jobs. So credit availability is a very big part of that. This is, I think, really a catalytic event from the perspective of the Indian markets. Then we continue to look at the aftermath of the Communist Party Congress in China, but the A-share index moved to a new high in here today. And I think it will probably come out over the next few weeks exactly what the priorities are, but I think infrastructure development is probably going to be one of them. And copper prices were pretty much unchanged in here today. And They are a little bit overbought relative to the trend mean, so we may get some additional consolidation, but the trend is towards recovery. Whereas oil prices, Brent was up today over $1, pushing right up towards the upper side of this range, holding the advance throughout the entire day. And what this is suggesting is that the potential is now that we're going to see a concerted move above the $60 area, and this looks like a pretty bullish chart. And the big question, of course, is how much of that will be sustained. If we get prices above $60, it's going to be full steam ahead for onshore domestic unconventional supply in the USA. But nonetheless, we are in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and generally speaking, that is positive for the demand for both oil and industrial commodities. What I think is also interesting is that it's in some of the soft commodities that we're beginning to see a tentative evidence that, for example, sugar has stopped going down. It has at least lost momentum, and there's still really quite a wide overextension relative to the trend mean. And cocoa has potentially turned the corner, that it was up an additional a couple of percent in here today, and it is now trading above the trend mean and in the process of breaking up and out of this. What is a potentially a base formation here. And Arabica coffee was up an additional 45 cents. It has certainly not been subject to demand dominance for much of the last few months, but it is down in relatively depressed levels. And when we've seen it down around these levels at any time in the last decade, then it has given way to pretty spectacular rallies. So, despite the fact that it is still there is still no real evidence that demand has returned to dominance, we are back at an interesting level nonetheless. And lumber prices are at new highs. Most of the news is focusing on NAFTA negotiations, but there is also, of course, the fact that the US economy is still expanding and that housing starts have not been disappointing. So that is creating demand for lumber. It is obviously quite overextended relative to the trend mean at present, following consecutive weeks on the upside, but rather than and think of it as a trading opportunity, which is looking increasingly risky at the present moment, but that it is probably indicative of continued economic growth. Now, what we have certainly seen in here today was a really rather extreme pullback in Celgene, down $20, and that was on a failure to meet forward guidance, but it had a ripple effect on the biotechnology sector, which has pulled back in a dynamic fashion to the region of the trend mean. Now, of course, this being earnings season, then we're going to have some additional companies coming through, and it will be I think the extent to which this index can find support in the region of the trend mean is going to be dictated by whether Celgene is an exception, or whether it is a indicative of a wider problem with earnings. So I think this is a sector that is particularly worth watching in the short term, because if it can indeed find support in the region of the trend mean, well, then that will confirm that we're still in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. And then if we go and think about where are we in terms of some of these bond markets, well, US 10-year Treasury yields were able to clear the 2.4% level 3 days ago and improved again on that performance in here today. It really increases the potential that they are going to go back up and test the highs for the year, which are north of 2.5%. And then, because we are in an environment where the Federal Reserve is beginning to run down the size of its balance sheet, well, that's removing a source of demand from the market. And if it's removing a source of demand, well, then that is going to have an effect on the yield. But of course, the question is whether and how much of an effect that is going to have on some of the lesser credits. So, for example, when we look at the high yield market, then it's not updated every. It's only updated on a once every 24-hour basis. So this is yesterday's spread, but it has not moved. That's despite the fact that the 10-year Treasury yield has popped up on 3 days ago. High yield spreads have contracted. And as long as high yield spreads are contracting, that suggests that there is no problem with availability of liquidity. And if that's the case, then it's unlikely we're going to have a recession. But this is something that I watch closely, and I look at it every day, because when high yield spreads start to widen out again, well, then that is going to be representative of when the next problem is likely to occur. And the VIX index, which, as I've mentioned on previous occasions, is because it has been so inert, is much more sensitive to moves in the stock market. So it was pretty much unchanged in here today, didn't hold its high, but didn't hold its decline either, whereas also the S&P 500 was pretty much unchanged as well. And of course, if we look at the consistency of this move over the last year, then I think we can say with confidence that the S&P is due some consolidation, and that we may be at the beginning of getting that consolidation. And that would be healthy. If we get a pullback in the order of about 70 or 80 points, that would take it back down towards that 2500 area, and that could represent the next area of potential support within the context of what is so far and still a pretty impressive and consistent uptrend this year. Whereas the Dow Jones is somewhat more overextended and could potentially have a somewhat larger pullback. But so far, there isn't a great deal of evidence to support that. It was up 71 in here today, almost completely countermanded yesterday's decline. But nonetheless, it is due some consolidation. And I think that the likelihood is that it will get it. And so I think that potentially right now there is potential for Europe and some of the emerging markets to outperform. And considering that the resources sector continues to do better, then the ASX was in positive territory in here today. It has had really quite a tight consolidation following the breakout that we had 2 weeks ago. And I think when we look at that on a weekly basis, and in fact, if we go back even further, we can see that it has a fair advance to go before it gets back and tests that peak from 2007. And considering that it has been ranging for 3 years already, then the potential is that if it does in fact break above 6,000, and so far there's no reason to expect that it won't, that the most likely scenario is that it will be able to sustain a move back up to test that peak. So certainly there is the potential here that this lengthy and very volatile range will be resolved on the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.